1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 through 24. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is the Lord's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. I trust the Lord will have our hearts prepared as we want to look at this. Shall we turn to the Lord in prayer? Father, I thank you for the time we have to be here today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truths that Paul has put forth as he continued addressing some issues there in the church of Corinth, that some things not right with the hearts of the believers there. I pray that your Spirit would be our teacher today. I pray, Lord, that you would get the glory. I pray that you would give me that ability to clearly put forth what Paul has written to them. May your message be conveyed to each of our hearts, and I pray that you would get the glory in it. We thank you for times like this that are ours. We thank you for this country, the fact that we still have the freedom to gather in your name, look at your word, and realize what you have for us. May be glorified in it, in each of our hearts that are here. We pray that you might work your work in the hearts of those that would listen out over the internet, that your will might be done also with this portion of Scripture. In your name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. Keep your Bibles open, if you would, to this first Corinthians chapter 7 portion to look at these verses today. They almost seem unrelated to the previous ones, those first 16 verses, at first glance. It's almost as though he's talking about two different things here. But Paul actually continued addressing a tendency in Corinth which was contributing to all sorts of problems among the believers. The tendency was the attitude in Corinth that by becoming a Christian, that opened up the door for all kind of changes in life. That was a prevalent attitude in Corinth. That, well, when you become a Christian, this changes, that changes, this changes, This is different. It's true in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And Paul said, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But the Corinthians had a tendency to make changes where God never intended changes to be made. And we find here, we want to see what Paul has to say with regards to being content. Being content. Now, last week in the first 16 verses, if you were with us, we saw in those first 16 verses, Paul had addressed the topic regarding marital relationships. And for you note takers, number one is review. We're going to just take a quick glance at those 16 verses and see what Paul taught these Corinthians who were making mistakes with their lives. What do you mean making mistakes? Well, for instance, we're not going to take time to look at all these verses, but let me just give you by way of a bit of review. We find that Paul dealt with last week in verses 3, 4, and 5. There was a belief among the Corinthians that becoming a Christian meant that you could deny, you could deprive your marriage partner of their physical due. That by becoming a Christian, you didn't have to sleep with your wife anymore or with your husband. It wouldn't matter. I mean, after all, now you're a Christian. But in verses 3, 4, and 5, Paul addressed that. And he told them, let the husband render the wife her due. Let her have what she deserves from you, husband. You're the only one that can give to her what she needs. And just because you've become a Christian doesn't mean that now you can withhold. Same thing with the wife. She can't withhold from the husband what is due in the normal physical relationship between the husband and wife. You say, they weren't getting mixed up about that. Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Some of them were adopting this super spiritual attitude that, well, now that I've become a Christian, you know, I can be more spiritual if I don't sleep with my husband, if I don't sleep with my wife. I'll be a far more spiritual person. Paul reviewed the fact that they were not to be depriving, you see that in verse 5, defraud ye not the one the other. Don't deprive them. Becoming a Christian has nothing to do with that. deprive not, accept, don't withhold, accept. And he laid the terms down in verse 5. If there is a time when you want to withhold from each other, number one, you must agree on it together. You agree on it together. This just isn't one person's decision. He says in verse 5, defraud not one the other, except it be with consent. Secondly, for a set time. For a set time. Maybe, and here in verse 5, maybe you're really struggling, you're really having a spiritual battle, and you're really burdened with something, and you want to pray and fast and things, really seek the Lord's will in this. Okay. You agree with each other. We'll hold off for a set time, and we'll search our hearts. And then what is the fourth step? Come back together again, or you are going to be what in verse 5? You're going to be playing right into the devil's hands. The Lord, the devil is going to use that opportunity. If you're withholding from your partner what they deserve to have from you, you are creating problems, and the devil is going to have a heyday. In verse 5, we've already spoken about that, the belief that being a Christian meant that we can just, you know, we just won't sleep together anymore. No, that's not what becoming a Christian is about. Verses 7 through 9, here we see, he referred to the topic of singleness, being single. Paul said, as far as I'm concerned, that's the preference, but singleness is not for everyone. There are some people that, being single, God's given them that ability, and God's blessing their life, using their life, and that's fine. But that's not for everyone. And he speaks of that in verses 7, 8, and 9. If you can stay single, fine. But if you can't, don't burn with passion. Get married. Then we come to verses 10 and 11. And we saw here, he taught them, in verses 10 and 11, stay married. Stay married. Don't unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. And that word depart there means divorce her husband. Don't get it in your head, lady, that you're going to be a lot better off, be a lot more spiritual if you just divorce your husband. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she says, I don't care what God says, I'm going to divorce him. Verse 11 says, ma'am, you've got two options. Option number one, stay divorced. Stay divorced. Option number two is get reconciled back to your husband. There you go. It's not, well, I'll divorce and find somebody that maybe is a little bit nicer guy. Nope. We don't find that whatsoever. And Paul was teaching that in those verses. Don't get divorced because of Christ. Don't use accepting the Lord as your own personal Savior as the reason for getting divorced. Stay married. Then verses 12 through 16, he once again said here in verses 12 through 16, stay married. Stay married. And it here in verses 12 through 16, the background is very simply this. Those verses describe, unlike where 10 and 11, it's believed both of them were Christian, husband and wife. Verses 12 through 16 is, well, there's a good chance that two people got married unsaved, but one of them heard the gospel, one of them got saved, and now you've got a marriage where one of them is a believer and one of them is an unbeliever. Well, God doesn't want me to be married to an unsaved person, right? I ought to get a divorce, huh? No, in verses 12 through 15 especially, but 12 through 16, we find, he says here, unto the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother, that's a Christian, has a wife that believeth not, she's unsaved, and she be pleased to dwell with him, she's content to stay married. You know what? Let him stay married. That just makes common sense. And verse 13, if a woman has a husband which doesn't believe, now you've got, she's responded to the gospel, she's gotten saved, but her husband is unsaved. Ditch him. No. Verse 13, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because in verse 14, notice, it says the unbelieving husband is sanctified or set apart by the wife who is saved. And by this, and the same thing, the unsaved wife is set apart to the Lord by a husband who is saved. And it even has a great effect on the children. Doesn't mean that being married to a Christian is going to bring about automatic salvation for the unsaved person. But what it means is, by being married to one who truly knows the Lord as their own personal Savior, that one's life has a special position with the Lord. That one is sanctified, set apart by the Lord, because the one is a born-again believer. And then we saw in verse 15, if the unsaved one insists, unlike verse 12 and verse 13, where the unsaved one said, you can have your Christianity, that's fine, but I love you, I want to stay married to you, that's fine. But when you come to verse 15, Paul says, it may be that you as a Christian are married and to this unsaved one, and they insist on leaving you. They insist on getting a divorce. He said in verse 15 that a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. Let him depart. Don't beat yourself up. You do everything to keep the marriage together, but if the unsaved one says, I've had it. Give me my freedom. I'm getting a divorce from you. We see here that the brother or sister is not under bondage in God. In such cases, they don't have to feel guilty because they couldn't hold the marriage together. God's called us to peace. And then we find that there's nothing the Christian can do about it. But as we move on in verses 17 to 24, having taken these moments to review, we find in verses 17 through 24, Paul endeavored to convince his readers that their relation to Christ was compatible with any social relation or position. Their relation to Christ was compatible to any social relation or position. And in these verses today, we see Paul addressed the attitude that becoming a Christian had on those social relationships. And that's number two. The first point for you note takers was review. Number two, verses 17 through 24, is social relationships. Listen to what Paul says in these verses. Let's notice, first of all, as we pick up, but as God hath distributed to every man, verse 17, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. However God has worked in your life, in your relationship, that's the way you ought to live. Don't be trying to make changes. You see, the issue that Paul was dealing with in verses 1 through 16 was there was this attitude that if I'm married, maybe I ought to get divorced. If I'm single, maybe I ought to get married. Maybe if I'm married, I ought to divorce this one and marry someone else. And we find here, Paul continues with addressing this wrong attitude that these Corinthians had, that becoming a Christian meant a big shakeup of everything with regard to these relationships and positions. And just as it was wrong regarding the issues here in the first 16 verses, he points out it's wrong here. Look at, if we would, in this 17th verse, as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, and by the way, we are told that this called has to do with, we see it several times in these verses. You see called in verse 17. Called in 18, called in 18, calling, verse 20, called in verse 21, called in verse 22, called, verse 24. Bible scholars say that what Paul is referring to here, in all of these places, it is the effectual call to salvation. When you are called to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. when you're saved. The effectual calling as the Holy Spirit uses the word, works in your heart, and brings you to Christ. Well, let's look at this 17th verse. Albert Barnes had this to say with regard to what we, with this matter of staying where you're called. Don't be trying to make everything change. Listen to what he said. Here in verse 17, he had discussed the question whether a husband and wife ought to be separated on account of a difference in religion. Remember? We saw that, verses 12 through 16. One's a believer, one's not a believer. Should they get separated? He had talked about that. He now says that the general principle there stated ought to rule everywhere, that men who become Christians ought not to change their condition or calling in life, but remain in that situation in which they were when they became Christians, and show the excellence of their religion in that particular calling. The object of Paul, therefore, is to preserve order, industry, faithfulness in the relations of life, and show that Christianity does not design to break up the relations of social and domestic intercourse. This discussion continues to the 24th verse. The phrase here that we see in verse 17, it says, as God hath distributed, refers to the condition in which men are placed in life, whether rich or poor, in a state of freedom or servitude, of learning or ignorance, etc. It implies that God appoints the lot of men and orders the circumstance in their condition, as God hath distributed to every man. As he's called everyone, so let him walk. As we continue on, he says, it implies that God appoints the lot of men and orders the circumstances of their condition. That religion is not designed to interfere directly with this, and that men should seek to show the real excellence of religion in the particular, get this, sphere in which they have been placed by divine providence, where God finds them, where they are before they became saved, where they are now that they are saved. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that everything has to be turned head over heels. And that's what these Corinthians were thinking their Christianity would allow them to do. Those first 16 verses with relation to the marital relationship between a husband and wife. Well, maybe we can get separated. Maybe we can separate from each other. Maybe I could get divorced. Maybe, and as we look at this today, as we see that Paul says in verse 17, as God has distributed to everyone, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. This was a truth taught universally by Paul, not just at Corinth. Now let's see the attitude where this, the areas where this attitude was seen socially in our verses here. This social relationship. A. Notice in verses 18 and 19, he addresses the Jews and the Gentiles. He says here, is any man called? They're here again. Is any man brought to salvation being circumcised? In other words, a Jew. Let him not become uncircumcised. Becoming a Christian does not necessitate that you, Jewish man, try to have to undo the circumcision that you underwent just by virtue of the fact that you were born a Jew. You don't have to try to make it look like you're not a Jew. And there were procedures that men would try to do to try to do away with the fact that they had been circumcised. You flip the coin over here in verse 18. Is any called, does any man get saved uncircumcised, the Gentile man? Don't let him rush out and get circumcised and think that that's what he's got to do now as a Christian. As we look at this, we see here in verse 19, circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. Oh, there was a day when that was such an important thing. But in the body of Christ, and here we see in the New Testament church, Paul is addressing these who were saying that, becoming a Christian, I've got to change some things. As God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, verse 17. How were you when you were saved? Were you circumcised? Were you uncircumcised? It does not matter. And he says, what is it that really matters? In verse 19, the only thing that really matters is what? What'd Paul say? God's concerned about what? The flesh or what? Am I keeping God's word? My heart. Paul was saying, you Corinthians, you guys are driving yourselves crazy here. You're thinking that you got to make all these outward changes. But Paul says, let every man, just as the Lord called him. You know, if as a Jewish man you got saved, praise the Lord. Thank God for what he did. You're a Gentile man, you got saved, you haven't been circumcised. Praise the Lord. God's not interested in that. He's interested in your heart. Are you in obedience to God's word? That's what God is looking for. So we see here the verses 18 and 19, this social relations, he addressed the Jews and the Gentiles. And he said, obedience is the thing that really counts. Verse 20, he says, what? Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. You know what he's simply saying there? Just be a Christian. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is. If God's not interested in the flesh, He's interested in the heart. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean you're going to have to make all different kinds of changes. We saw what they thought and were attempting in the first 16 verses. Single, married, married, divorced, remarriage, this, that, and the other thing. And they were using their Christianity as an excuse. And Paul says that's not right. And the same thing here in the realm of the social matters with regards to what at one time was a matter of great importance between a Jewish man and a Gentile man. And Paul says, becoming a Christian, it doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter what you are. Just be who you are. Just be who you are. Be content with what you are as a Christian. Don't be thinking you've got to make all these changes. Notice he goes on in verses 21 through 22. After he addressed the Jews and the Gentiles in verses 18 and 19, verses 21 and 22, he addresses those as either slave or free. Slave or free. He says here, are you called? When you were saved, were you a servant, a slave of another one? When you got saved, what was your position? Were you a free man, free woman, or did you belong to someone else? Were you someone's servant, their slave? What does he say? Verse 21. How much are they supposed to be concerned about it? It says what? Care not for it. Don't worry about it. Becoming a Christian and accepting the Lord as your own personal Savior, your social status, whether you're slave or free, that doesn't matter to the Lord at all, and it should not matter to you, Paul says. Don't be worrying about making changes. He says, are you called being a servant? Care not for it. But if you could get your freedom, verse 21, use it. If you have the opportunity, that's fine, but don't stress over it. Are you that's called in the Lord being a servant? For verse 22, for you that is called in the Lord as a servant, a slave, really, in the Lord, you're a free person. He's given you freedom. But verse 22, likewise also, he that's called being free, you're not a slave to anybody. Guess what? You're the Lord's servant. You belong to Him. You are to serve Him. Slave or free? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. And here he says, servants. Paul's writing to some servants here as well. He did to some in Corinth. He did to some in Ephesus. Listen to his message. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he is what? Bound or free. Who we are socially matters not in the body of Christ. But these Corinthians, they were stressing over it. And so Paul was taking these verses, continuing on with the same idea. They were stressing, trying to use Christ to justify all sorts of changes in relationships that were not supposed to be being made, verses 1 through 16. Husbands and wives were using their Christianity to withhold themselves from each other. Paul says that ought not to be. There were those who were, Paul was saying, you know, it'd be good if everybody could be like me, not need to be married, but I understand everybody can't. Some of you, the lust of the flesh would be, you need to get married. And if you're married, stay married. Don't seek freedom and use Christ as an excuse. As we saw in verses 12 through 16, you might find yourself a saved person married to an unsaved person. Don't seek to ditch them because they're unsaved. Pray that the Lord might draw them to Himself. If they want to stay living with you, that's great. If they insist on leaving, you don't have to feel guilty over it. Let them go. But the Lord will do the work in the hearts. And then as we saw in verses 17 through 24, becoming a Christian, it had its effect socially, and we find there were those that were using the excuse, well, now that I have accepted the Lord, I've got to undo what I did in the past as a Jew. I've got to not look so circumcised, or I better look circumcised. And Paul said, just live your life for the Lord where you are. He's not asking you to make changes like that. Who we are socially, Jew, Gentile, bound, free, male, female, that's not what matters. What's important is no matter what our position we have in the body of Christ, we can serve our Lord. Look at verse 24. Let me get back to 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 24, when he said, brethren, let everyone, every man, wherein he is called, doesn't matter what your position, doesn't matter what your marriage relationship, wherever he is when he's called, let him there abide in the Lord. This verse ends with the thought, live for the Lord wherever he has you. Be content where you are and how he can use you. Let's look unto him. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, for these verses. Thank you for Paul's continuation to the Corinthians, who were of the attitude that everything had to just be all shaken up, mixed up after they accepted Christ, and they were excusing things that were not right. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be content where we are. Lord, you can use anyone where they are when they give their heart and life to you. I pray your blessing would be on us as we take to heart these truths. In your name I pray, amen.